Enough of this.
Hey. Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Home improvement at true outlet prices of 40 to 60% off.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
All right, checking in at
number 5.
No interest in a third-party run. That word from Senator Ted Cruz as he returns to the Senate came to Capitol Hill 1 week after the suspension of his presidential campaign. He says what's important is that the movement continues.
We've suspended the campaign because I can see no viable path to victory. Of course, if that changed, we would reconsider things, but let's be clear, we're not going to win Nebraska today. There should be no mystery, no excitement in that. For me, what is important is that the movement continues. This movement from the people. This battle is about a lot more than one election cycle or one candidate.
Now it's about me in 2020. I'll be back. I'm going to go into my coffin now and wait for 4 years. Till I have an opportunity to run again.
I don't quite understand the logic. If you didn't have a path before when you needed 120% of the delegates, how do you have a path now when you probably need 175% of the delegates?
I think there's misreporting on this today. I don't think he is saying he's going to stay in it. I think he wants a seat at the convention. Everybody's going to hold their delegates because right. There is still a possibility that Trump doesn't get to the magic number. It's unlikely that he doesn't, but there's a possibility he doesn't. I mean, California could stop him. If all of a sudden the people in California woke up and decided that this was going to be that this guy does not really have any clue what he's doing, there might be a wake up, and then you have a contested convention, and anything can happen. But when you've got real elders, I mean, I don't think people really took enough attention to what happened there. The Republican Speaker of the House, the highest level elected official in the Republican Party in the United States, said of the presumptive Republican nominee, I don't support him yet. That I'm going to tell you, is as crazy a thing as could possibly happen. It's just nuts. I mean, it's like it is seismic. Can you imagine if that had happened, you know, in any other time in history other than Donald Trump? So it just tells you that there's a huge, huge, huge problem here still.
It's hard to imagine that happening, but it'll be sure that the convention is going to be extremely interesting, no matter what way you slice it.
This
and we'll be there.
This is what the people wanted, but the people were wrong, and I'm going to prove them wrong.
See, there's a picture of him parking in two parking spaces.
Yeah, and everybody's saying that just proves that he's you-know-what because he takes up two parking spaces.
Right. Well, how big do you think – how many parking spaces do you think Trump's helicopter takes up? what are they all upset about? Right.
He lets people tour it, though, so yeah. That's what people love.
All right. Checking in at
number 4.
Donald Trump likes giving nicknames to his enemies, but now he's got a couple of his own. Former Mexican President Vicente Fox, in an interview released today on Kick-Ass Politics, said – that having Donald Trump in the White House will be very dangerous.
This world sends messages of hate. What's going to happen in the Middle East? We're coming back to the era of the ugly American, which was the gringo was hated all around the world. Yeah. And this guy, pretty soon he got the title now. Yeah. He is the ugly American. He is the hated gringo because he's attacking all of us. He's offending all of us.
And somehow it's working for him.
What did Vicente Fox just call Donald Trump a gringo? That's basically what he did. But he's a gringo.
I don't think that's that bad, is it? Is gringo that derogatory?
I think it is, yes. I think if you're – let me just put it to you this way. If you were in a Mexican traffic stop and they called you a gringo, would your heart rate go up?
Wouldn't love that.
Imagine, I mean, that could take us to a war, not to a trade war.
Oh,
it could
think
take
so?
Us. Oh, of course. I mean, I can tell you, in Mexico, we have a saying. We say, okay, we are chiquitos. Yeah. We're small, but we're picosos.
Yeah.
We're like the jalapeno. So don't play around with us. Don't play around with us. We can jump walls. We can swim rivers. And we can defend ourselves.
I don't, what?
He's talking about how strong the Mexican people are, but probably using the wrong analogy about.
Yeah. See, he's been drinking his entire tour of America. You can tell. He's the former president of Mexico, by the
way. That's true. You forget because he's more vocal than the current president.
Right.
About American politics, for sure.
Right. I mean, I get Vicente Fox's anger in this, but it's weird. I mean, it's, you know, he's calling him a gringo. That doesn't help. He's just playing. He's just, now people go, nah, you see, now that's why Donald Trump's right. Look at that Mexican president. You just call him a gringo.
Well, in the Trump game of name calling, I think that's lower than what Donald says, or not as strong as what Donald.
Trump says. Well, now we have to wait for Donald's response.
Of course.
Now we're going to find out what happens to the guy called him a gringo. And next thing you know, what blah 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 blah. All right.
The wall will get taller.
The wall just grew by 30 feet.
I thought we were friends.
You're drinking too. There's too much. Do you have a skinny margarita? Are you having a party and not inviting me to it?
I'm having a party in my head.
What if all of a sudden I came over to the restaurant you're at tonight and everybody was there and I wasn't invited? What would I feel like then, Judy?
I thought we were friends.
Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today. ChicagoTribune.com is the place to go.
You are a gringo. All right. All right. That was from before. That's a callback, as we like to say in radio.
Number three.
We're moving forward, though.
In a video that's been widely circulated, Sarah Eldridge was caught on camera hurling racist and transphobic. That's a new thing for me now. Transphobic slurs.
Learning new words, Ro.
And then attacking Pearl Love, a Taiwanese transgender woman on a subway train in New York City.
You ain't nobody. Like, what are you going to do to survive in the long run? I mean, do you do this on the weekends, or is this an everyday event for you? Like, who are you really under all that makeup? How are we supposed to act with you? What should we do about you? Because this shit right here ain't appropriate for my child. I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck. Put the camera down, motherfucker.
Oh, God. Wow.
All right.
I don't like seeing that.
All right.
It's one thing, not wanting to go to the bathroom, but
come on, people.
She attacked her.
All right. So then, in an interview with our sister station, WPIX Channel 11 in New York, she admitted that she was wrong for becoming loud and aggressive, but said she stands by her behavior.
When I stepped on the train, I sat down, and I had an attitude from square one because I was robbed earlier on that week. I meant what I said. That person offended me in a way. That person was, to me, explicit. To me, too much. To me, I couldn't stand it. To me, this is not fair to me.
But she would say that she's just being herself.
And I can't deal with that. I guess I'm not ready.
Would you say you're sorry?
I don't think it's that time yet. I need time. Don't judge me unless you know me. Don't throw stones unless you haven't sinned against, you know, someone yourself.
What is she talking about? Am I wrong? What's going on here?
She went and attacked her because she was transgender.
And now she's saying, but I don't know, or an apology because, you know, you don't know who I am and you shouldn't throw stones at me because I threw a stone at her.
She's on the New York subway. I mean,
right.
It's not like,
the hell is she talking about?
You expect everybody of all color, sizes, and persuasions to be on the subway with you. You can't just take
men, women, not men.
What's going on with people?
Not women, newly minted men, newly minted
women.
Right,
just deal with it when you're on the subway.
Cross-dressers. What is she talking? What has happened? What, Anna, I don't understand anything anymore.
I can hardly explain this one to you. People get violent. They're angry.
Checking in at
number two.
Jon Stewart was at it last night. He might have given up on the daily television show, but he sat down, actually, with David Axelrod during a live taping of The Axe Files, which is a podcast produced by CNN and the University of Chicago Institute of Politics. And Stewart is interesting. First of all, he looks a little different. You know, all these guys, they leave TV and they all look
David
totally different.
They have that David Letterman effect. They suddenly look like Santa Claus.
Right. But here he is, Jon Stewart calling Trump a thin-skinned hypocrite, ridiculing political rivals and minorities, implodes when faced with even the most minor of slights.
Look, I don't even know that Donald Trump is eligible to be president. And that's not a birther thing. Look, I'm not a constitutional scholar, so I can't necessarily say, but are you eligible to run if you are a man baby? Or a baby man? I don't know what the, look, I don't know. And again, I'm not here to be politically incorrect. If they're referred to as man-baby Americans, but he is a man-baby.
Said he has little hands. And
mm-hmm. And too immature to be president.
And they keep saying, which I think is the most wonderful thing, don't worry, when he becomes president, he's going to be totally mature. And
well, he said being presidential is easy, and he'll do it at right. the appropriate time.
But what does that say about your constituency if what you're saying to them is, look, the only way that I can win this part of the race is by being an unrepentant, narcissistic ass, because that's what my voters like. But once I have to appeal to everybody, I'll be cool.
It is.
That's exactly right.
Exactly what we've all been told is going to happen, but doesn't. There's no transition for him.
Well, he's right, though. I mean, that's the unfortunate thing is that the guy has appealed to the lowest common denominator voter in the Republican Party, and there's you talk to the middle and higher common denominator voters in the Republican Party, they're like, oh my God. Who is this guy? But I mean, he's appealing to, when you stop and you think about it, he's gotten about 10 million votes, right? 11 million
Way
votes, something like that?
Way more than Mitt Romney. I mean, he has attracted 63% more voters to the field.
All right, so there's 300 million Americans. There's about 200 million of them, or 190 million of them are... vote. 190 million Americans, I think, are registered to vote, something like that. Or a voting age.
Okay, so you take the underage out.
Right. So let's just call it 100 million people regularly vote, because that's about right in a presidential election. That means 10% of the voters are voting. You know, have created this situation. Think about that.
But the engagement level is what the GOP cites as being hard to fight, because he's bringing out more voters than we've seen in recent presidential elections.
But voters who want to blow
side.
Up the GOP, if the GOP wants to get all excited about that, it's sort of like, hey, look at all these people rallied around to kill me. This is great.
But they didn't rally enough before to win.
All right. And finally,
number one.
Oh, this is terrible. Sharon Osbourne. Poor Sharon and Ozzy. I don't see how that couple couldn't make it.
Well, after they have gotten through so much, that's what I thought was shocking.
She made her first appearance on The Talk today to deal with rumors of divorce and infidelity by her husband, Ozzy, a husband of 33 years.
You kicked Ozzy out of the house. Is that made up?
No, it's true. Mm-hmm.
All right. And is he still out of the house?
No, he's back and I'm out of the house.
You know, you moving out has been the thing that you're doing that you feel is right for you.
It's right for me because I honestly, at this point today, have no idea what I'm going to be doing with the rest of my life.
Oh, Sharon! Sharon, I can see you guys leaving with the hairdresser, Sharon!
You used to watch the Osbournes, I get it. She seemed, if you watch that show, that reality show, she was the source of all of his sanity, and it seemed like the glue that even held his mildly put-together life together.
Now, back in 2011, she sat down the cameras of Entertainment Tonight to talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger's affair, and this was her opinion then.
What would you have said if you ever found out anything like that for Ozzy? I can only imagine.
Chop his willy off. Arnold's willy would have been down that disposal unit spinning round. That's where it would be, and I'd make her clean it up.
Sharon, where's my willy, Sharon? I have my willy, Sharon.
Well, she's positioning herself for another talk show here because women will love that talk.
Mm-hmm. The broken willy talk?
Not that. Not your talk. Her
All right.
her talk.
All right, go Sharon.
He was supposed to be sleeping with the hairdresser, right?
I didn't hear who.
Whose hairdresser is that, by the way? It's not his, is it?
I go get it, Sharon.
He's gonna scream that at whoever it is anyway. Because he doesn't even know. He would walk around there shaking. I mean, I don't know. I know he's got some sort of physical thing, and I don't want to, you know, make fun of him. But he's the guy is, you know, where's he going?
Right. He doesn't quite.
Say no to drugs.
that's
he's
right.
The perfect poster child
right.
for that.
Yeah, he's just going with it.
The top five at five.